HD Smartcast. You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Hi, I'm Ashutosh Garg. I am the author of the best-selling book, The Brand Called You. And this is our podcast, Be Brand Wise, where I bring you the stories of successful people and brands from around India and around the world. Here is a great chance to gain insights into how to build big businesses and what mistakes can and should be avoided. Not only is this podcast the brainchild of the brand called You, it is also an HT Smartcast original, and it is available on htsmartcast.com, India's fastest growing podcast producing platform. Today I have a very, very accomplished young lady who's a doctor. Dr. Jaya is MBBS from the Kasturba Gandhi Medical College, Manipal. She has a specialization in dermatology from Gujarat, and she's a hair transplant surgeon. That's quite an accomplishment. So let's talk a little bit about dermatology first, and then we'll talk of hair transplant. And the first question that comes to my mind is on skin whitening. Why is there such a craze for this in our country?
So this is something which I have rarely thought, and I have not just thought when I became a dermatologist, I have even thought before. When I was a child, I think it really stems from the fact that, you know, our grandfathers and our great-grandfathers, when they lived, we were colonized for a very long time, and we looked upon to the Caucasian skin. So I think it's a very deep-rooted thing. So when I was born, so I am like half Gupta, and my mom's side was Sindhi. So Sindhi and Punjabi people, they have more white skin. I think it's just, you know, because they had seen those Caucasian people. So the first benchmark of anybody being beautiful would be, oh, how fair is the girl? And I think I don't blame my grandparents because they grew up in that environment. And then our parents kind of emulated it because they heard it since they were kids. And then somehow we also heard it. But I think we are all educated enough to know that that's not the case anymore. Like even if you see the World Congress of Dermatology, their entire symbol is like the six types of skin. They have that in a form of a lotus. So they say every skin type is beautiful. So no, we don't promote skin whitening.
So before I go further, tell me, what are the six types of skin?
So it's not six types of skin. It's like six colors.
What are these colors?
No, we don't really say that. You know, it just starts from Caucasian to that way. But basically, we believe in healthy skin.
I agree.
We believe that, you know, it's the largest organ of the body and it's protecting everything inside it. Okay. So I definitely promote skin health, but I don't promote, you cannot, you know, you should be happy. In fact, for our climate, we have the perfect skin color.
I agree. Because, you know, we have to be comfortable with whatever skin we have.
We have beautiful skin.
Absolutely.
We have beautiful skin. There's nothing to feel
bad. Yet I was reading, it's having a $2.5 or $3 billion industry.
It's just because, you know, I think educated people should start making sure that in front of their children, they're not making these comparisons. In fact, my brother is in US and he dates like an American girl. And then over there, they feel it's like, you know, they're very pale. They don't have
that color.
So, you know, everybody, it's just what you feel from inside.
That's what, in fact, I tell a lot of my American friends that, you know, you come to India and you want a tan. And we sit in our car in the middle of summer and we get a natural tan.
No, it's just, you should be healthy.
Okay, so yeah, let me move on. You know, in a tropical country like ours, what are some of the common skin-related challenges we face?
So, mostly you would say that, you know, we do have fungal infections. And then there are things like, you know, urticaria, that's allergies, and eczema. And, you know, as we grow older, there's another otitis. These are more common in children. There are acne, dandruff, psoriasis. There are certain rare conditions, which, you know, probably it's like pemphigus and all, they're not very common. But they do exist.
And for the common human being and all the people who will be watching us, thousands of people will watch us or listen to us. The best way to look after skin is to keep it clean and washed.
Of course. But also, yes, there are a few things that we need to realize that. So it's a basic cover. You know, it's like how if you have a good camera and you're keeping it covered. Similarly, our body, the skin is our basic cover. So there are certain few pointers like using a sunscreen and, you know, using an having an antioxidant. These are very basic few things. Mm-hmm. Having a normal skincare routine is kind of important. And that's pretty much enough. If you're doing that since the right age, you'll be good to go.
Correct. So, you know, again, when I was reading about you and I was reading about dermatology, there were some interesting statistics which said that there are, in a country of 1.3 billion people, there are barely 6,000 dermatologists who, and 90% of them are in urban India.
Yes.
And yet, as you said just now, it is the biggest organ of our body. Why is there such a big dissonance?
So a lot of, initially, I think, let's say about 20 years ago, there were not too many dermatology seats. There were not too many dermatology graduates. Okay. And a general physician would be practicing most of it. But yes, there is a huge lag. That's something which I had also realized while I was in a government college in Ahmedabad. We used to get people from all across the state and even from Rajasthan and all, who had these rare disorders and they were never diagnosed properly. So ever since 3 years that I have been, I try to go to some of the villages, like any of the help. They've come from a village in Punjab or Haryana or Uttar Pradesh. So I have villages, but I have, you know, this is about 10 to 12 villages. And you can, at least, you know, you'll find that one person who's not been diagnosed properly, who has pemphigus. I don't have as much resources to get them to Delhi and treat them myself right now. But I do write them and I do tell them that, you know, you would be requiring this kind of treatment and you need to go to a tertiary care center. So basically, that's a 10-year goal that I hope to be able to have, like, a one-year entire, you know, campaign, just like take an RV and go across India and see as many patients as possible, at least to diagnose them that and tell them that this is the care that you need.
That's quite amazing. And I hope through our show you'll find many people
willing to support you.
I would really love. You can count on my support as well if you're going to do something like this. So one or two more questions on skin before we move on. My question to you is that, you know, in a country like ours, which has got so many seasons, certainly in North India, are skin disorders seasonal? And can we eat right for
For the first part, yes, a lot of them are seasonal. Very simply put, something like dandruff, dryness, they are, even allergies, they would come with pollen more. Fungal infections would come with humidity more. So yes, of course, a lot of skin conditions are seasonal. And as far as eating is concerned, 100%. Eating right, just not for skin, but for your health on and whole, is a very important thing.
That's true.
Nothing beats if you're eating right, if you're good habits, if you have healthy habits, if you're exercising and eating right. I think it takes care of your health, but at least, you know, I would say 50-60% of your job is done. In fact, I for one really do believe that when we're talking about harming the environment or, you know, the global changes and stuff, I also think if you're overeating, you're stressing the earth.
Good.
You need to just eat just the right amount and not extra. Good. Or not even less. Correct. You should be healthy.
Correct. So quick question on eating right. I know it's a totally different subject and it's a huge subject.
Yeah.
But what would be some of the foods that one should avoid for our skin?
Definitely all kinds of junk foods. I say there's something called high glycemic index food. So that goes for all kinds of, just not skin, but diabetes and all also, but also hormonal disorders. So skin is something. There are a few conditions which are only skin related, but a lot of it is that, you know, if you have something inside, it would, the first symptoms would manifest on skin.
Okay.
So it's all very interrelated. A good dermatologist is able to diagnose inner problem much earlier. So that's the basic thing. So definitely if you're eating right, that helps. And yeah, good fruit. You know, if you're having fruits and all, that's a very good thing.
So my last question to you on skin. And this relates to millennials and their skin.
Yeah.
I'm much, much older than you. And I've seen, you know, how much, you know, whitening was a big challenge when I was growing up, etc. And yet I find the millennials are going to change the future of this country. Mm-hmm. They're far more comfortable.
Yes.
What is your view on millennials and their skin?
So, yes, of course, people have started accepting that you need to have a healthier skin and even skin tone, irrespective of the color. And that is what is more important. But yes, I do feel that, and what I do tell most of my patients as well, that, you know, we get good clothes, we get good things, and we take good care of them. So there is no harm in taking good care of your skin. Like what my grandmother looked at the age of 16, my mom doesn't. And what my mom looked at the age of 30, I don't. So I think there is no harm in looking healthy and being healthy and looking your best.
Okay.
If that helps you, if that's what you want, then of course. But it's a choice.
Right.
It's a choice.
I agree. Completely agree with you. So, Jaya, let's move to the next part of your specialization, which is hair transplant.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like skin, everyone is very conscious about their hair. Of course, bald is also considered to be the new look in the men.
It definitely is.
But my question to you is that what are the reasons a person loses hair?
So most of it is genetic.
Okay.
Of course, some environmental causes are also there. But most of it is genetic, especially with men and even with women as well. What I personally think, and yes, it's not scientifically completely proven right now, but you know, as we are evolving as humans, over if you see over last even 10,000, 15,000. So we kind of tend to lose what, you know, from our body, what we don't require. Right? So I think hair, considering the urban lifestyle that we have, over years, basically hair used to be hair all over our body and on our hair was supposed to be a natural covering.
Correct.
But with, you know, us living mostly indoors and wearing all the clothes and stuff, I think it is just a natural way of evolving that we don't really need hair anymore. So I am pretty sure, I'm not saying in my lifetime, but in some lifetime, maybe 100, 200 years later, people would not be having hair and it would still be considered as good looking as it is.
And what about stress?
Yes, stress does result. Stress has effects on hair, on skin, on your entire general health. It starts, you know, when there's a stress build up in the body, it would start with your stomach, it would go to your heart, it would go to your liver, it would start, then it would start manifesting in your skin, on your hair. And everybody's biology is different. So some people would even end up with, like, you know, rash on their body when they're very stressed. Some people end up losing more hair when they're stressed. So yes, of course, mental health is, in our scenario, it's one of the most challenging and one of the things which people should really accept and really take care of. It's as important as physical health.
Wonderful. So my next question to you is on hair transplant. What should one look for? When I say one, it's someone who believes they need a transplant. What should they look for when they are looking to get some hair transplant?
So one of the things which I rarely see, so hair transplant or any of the cosmetic procedures, they are not exactly, you know, something that I would prescribe. Like, you know, if you have some problem, I would say, you know, if it's like a fever, I would say you have to take this medicine, otherwise you would not be fine. But with all these cosmetic procedures, it's a choice.
Perfect.
It's a choice which a patient is making themselves. I try to assess. I never try to push. The first time a patient would come, I would never say, oh, you need it. I would say, well, these are the options, but it's a natural process and you look beautiful anyways you are. I always give them time to think, to, you know, to come to conclusion that they really want it. And it's not something that they're doing for somebody else. They're doing it for themselves. And also to check, you know, have a reality check. Because hair transplant, basically they're taking their own hair and we're just taking it from behind and just, you know, grafting it somewhere else. So it's not, you're not increasing the number of hair.
Correct.
You're just redistributing.
Correct.
So we have to have that reality check. Otherwise, patients do get dissatisfied. But yes, it's a completely cosmetic thing. I don't want to advertise about it.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that you need it.
Understand.
So that is something I do.
And is it a permanent solution?
So, well, you know, it started happening, say, about 20 years ago. So we still don't have enough data to say whether it's going to last you your lifetime. But yes, we've seen for the last 10, 20 years, if done correctly, it can last you for about 20 years or so.
Okay.
So it's a very small strip on your head, which is like permanent hair. Rest of it does shed over time. So yes, some of it won't stay.
And you normally have hair around the crown, which seems to stay longer.
Yeah, so it's basically this part of hair, which is not affected by the hormones.
Okay.
And that is only the permanent one. So if we take from above or below that area, it might not get affected as soon. But yes, you might end up losing it after 10, 15 years. But yes, science is evolving very fast and we use extra things to make sure that they stay.
amazing. You know, I've learned so much on hair transplant from you in the last few minutes. I've never ever learned so much. So let me move on to another part. And this is a little bit on gender balance. Mm-hmm. You know, I've spent 4 decades in the corporate world mm-hmm. as an entrepreneur. And I've often said that there is a gender imbalance mm-hmm. in the corporate world or in business world. I know that there are far more women mm-hmm. in medicine. But what are your views on gender balance in medicine?
Yes, of course. Like, you know, it's not, you know, I had school friends who went into engineering and they would still have more men in their classrooms. But in our college, yes, there were pretty much, we were equal, females and males. Mm. But one thing is that what I have seen over years, mm. once we start practicing doctors mm. are still males more mm. than females, okay. even when they finish their medicine.
And why is that? Is it because women have to go back to their homes because of family. Children, family,
etc.? Yes, maybe. Maybe because of that. I think it's changing. Mm. I think women are getting more informed. Mm. Families have started supporting their careers. Mm. But yes, at some point of time, they were expected to stay at home and take care mm. more there, even if they were equally qualified or equally good.
Despite having spent, as you said in the beginning,
spent
15, 16 years.
I still have friends who started with me and spent all those years mm. and are now basically looking after the house first mm. before stepping out to their career.
So again, you know, the medical world is a world that I know very little of. Mm. But when I ask some of my women guests, mm. what do you think should be done to correct this faster? Mm-hmm. They said that companies should have a provision mm-hmm. to be able to get young mothers with their children mm-hmm. at work. What is your thought from the medical world?
Well, we can't take children to hospitals. We definitely can't do that. No, I think, you know, a more holistic, if you're talking about gender equality, mm-hmm. then it has to be that you're sharing. If you have a family, then both the partners are sharing work at home Correct. And at work.
Correct.
And I think that would be enough. Mm. You know, if your spouse is empowering you and supporting your career and is, you know, taking equal responsibility at home, I think that is pretty much enough. And even if your parents, if they're retired and support you and your mm. family, I think even in the nuclear setup, I think having a good support system, it takes like a village to bring up children.
Correct.
So I think if you have that finish, you're good.
Yeah, well, that's very well said. So Jaya, thank you very much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you. And I wish you lots of success in all the great work you are doing and you want to do in the villages.
Thank you so much for having me here. It was a pleasure being here. And yes, the village work, that is one of the main reasons why I'm here. Mm-hmm. I hope to, you know, reach this message to as many people because, as I said, I would be needing a lot of support when I start doing wonderful. That work.
Wonderful. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, The Brand Called You, and never miss any update. For feedback, reach us on @HTSmartcast. We are present on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. To listen to more podcasts by The Brand Called You, log on to www.htsmartcast.com or suno naye nazariye se.
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HT Smartcast.